We're on?
Yep.
It is November the, whatever the heck
24th.
It is, 24th. This is Charles Chandler, presiding officer, pursuant to an order of the Secretary of State, dated October 5th, 2010, and a hearing process involving the FRM matter. The hearing today will start with a telephonic testimony from a Linda Goyette. Michelle, you would attempt to reach Ms. Goyette.
I apologize. I forgot the phone numbers downstairs. I apologize.
Why don't we let Michelle get it, and you can present to me some additional evidence I think you have.
Sure. I have here some documents from Stephen and Michelle Watkins. When they testified a couple of weeks ago, we had asked for some additional documentation. They had provided it to us. It's essentially the same mortgage documents they provided to us before, but they're the stamped version with the registry of deeds stamp on it, so we can see the date and time.
So it has the recording information that didn't exist during the time they were testifying. Is that correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay.
And we have a copy of that in binder here.
Okay. And to you, for the record, will you summarize for me what you find when looking at the date of signature and the date of recording on these documents?
My basic interest for it is with respect to the Tangway project, which is one of the recorded instruments in there. There was a discrepancy in the dates, meaning the contract was dated, I believe, February 07, and it wasn't recorded until about 15 months later, March 08, somewhere thereabouts, and that was essentially our interest.
Okay. Thank you, and that's what you're saying I'm going to find when I review that, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And Michelle is back. She will dial.
Number 45.
Ms. Goyette. This is number 45. Stephen Michelle Watkins. Recorded documents. Nothing else? You may proceed with dialing. Is this Linda Goyette, please?
Yes, it is.
Linda Goyette, my name is Charles Chandler. I'm the presiding officer in a hearing called by the New Hampshire Secretary of State in the FRM matter, so-called.
Yes.
You are now on a speakerphone in a duly convened portion of that hearing, and I've been given your name and some documents indicating that you would be willing to testify. If you choose to testify this morning, please be advised that you are testifying in an open hearing on a speakerphone, and that any testimony you give will be given under oath. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm now going to ask you, do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in the matter now pending will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
You are, in fact, Linda Goyette. Is that correct?
Yes.
Ms. Goyette, as I have indicated to, I hope, everyone who has testified telephonically, many people have had a prepared opening statement that they have chosen to read in the record. Others have not. Others have spoken extemporaneously and explained their relationship with FRM. Do you have a prepared opening statement you would choose to read?
No, I do not have one to read, but I would like to speak.
Please do.
I applied for a mortgage at a foreclosure sale that I was the highest bidder on, and that foreclosure was in the hands of Financial Resources, and they were to get me some financing, and I had 30 days to get financing. And when it came to crunch time, 3 days before I was told that I had two options. One is to assume an existing mortgage, or I'm going to lose my $5,000 that I had given them. So because of that, you know, I started jumping through hoops to try to get some money. So I ended up borrowing $50,000 from my daughter in order to satisfy what his demands were. Now, I kept on calling them throughout the month after I was awarded the, you know, the highest bidder, that they kept on saying that, oh, we're working on it. Oh, we're working on it. So we still haven't heard from them. They named the company Delta Funding. And I, to this day, don't know if they ever called Delta Funding. I've never received anything to that, you know, to that matter, saying, well, Delta Funding denied my financing or anything like that. They just kept telling me that they were working on it. And then I got, you know, 3 days before with them saying, you know, and it was Scott Farah that I had actually spoken with. And he was not very nice, very demanding, and basically said I was going to lose my $5,000. So my daughter ended up lending me $50,000, and the sale of the property was $165,000. The existing loan from the former owner, which was foreclosed on, was $125,000. That $125,000 was from a person who had invested with Financial Resources. And his name is Mr. Don Keltz. And basically, and I don't know if there was a, I'm not sure what the word is that I want to use, but a manipulation, I guess it would might be a good word, that Mr. Keltz, of course, at being the investor, was promised, you know, a 13% return on his investment. So I really feel that Financial Resources has done me wrong by lying to me. And I don't have any proof that they lied to me, but I don't also don't have any proof that they sought financing through Delta Funding either. So I believe that Mr. Farah had deliberately hung on to this so-called looking for a mortgage because he wanted to have this 13%. And it was an interest-only mortgage, which I later didn't even know that. Until I tried to put some money towards the principal, and CL&M told me that I can't do that, that it's an interest-only loan. And I'm like, well, I'm never going to pay this thing off. So they basically said, well, it's an interest-only loan, but the documents don't really state that because it does say principal. Said in some of these documents, it says that, you know, the interest would be applied and then fees and whatever, and then the balance would go to principal. So that was never explained to me. So I felt really stuck in this mortgage.
Let me see if I understand this transaction. You saw a notice somewhere of a foreclosure on certain real estate. And
well, I own at the time, which I actually ended up, you know, having to lose that business, not really lose it because it's still a viable business, but I've had to literally close shop because I really couldn't afford it because that mortgage was never going to go down. The purpose of me buying this property was for me to fix it up and move my furniture business over there, and it was literally right next door to where we were leasing another person's property. So that was my motive for even being interested in that property, because it was literally right next door. And so that's why I ended up, you know, deciding to, I was trying to buy it. And I actually had offered the previous owner a couple of $100,000 for it, and he just kept saying no, it's worth more than that. And it was in financial resources hands as well. So,
did you actually ever take title to this real estate?
Yeah, I have a foreclosure deed, but the investor is basically trying to take this property from me because I'm not paying him, and I've already given this guy $40,000 of my interest-only money, and there's still a balance of $125,000 that he invested his money in, with financial resources, not with me. So he gave financial resources much more than what I financed for. He told me that he invested almost $1 million or about $1 million with financial resources. And now my property happens to just be one of them.
And this is Donald Keltz?
Yes.
Okay. So you went to the foreclosure sale.
Yes.
You were the successful bidder.
Yes.
What was your bid?
$165,000.
You then utilized the services of FRM to attempt to secure a mortgage to cover $125,000 of that $165,000 acquisition cost. Is that correct?
No. What's correct is that I was trying to get financing for $165,000. I didn't know that Donald Keltz owned this mortgage. At that time, I didn't know that. I was dealing with financial resources specifically.
Did you have legal counsel at this time?
No, I didn't. I was working with a broker who worked for financial resources at the time, and then he decided to quit because I think he saw that they were doing some things that were not legal.
Do you have a copy of the foreclosure notice that caused you to go to that particular sale?
It was in the newspaper. I have the newspaper clipping.
Have you forwarded a copy of that to the Bureau?
I haven't, but I have it with me.
Well, I'm going to ask you to...
I can fax it to you right now.
I'm going to ask you to copy that and forward it to Jeffrey Spill, attorney with the Bureau. And Mr. Spill will come on the record now and give you an address to forward that notice.
Okay, that's the clipping for the foreclosure.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, you can mail it to State House Room 204, Concord, New Hampshire.
What's it called, I'm sorry?
The Bureau of Securities Regulation.
Okay. Bureau of Securities Regulation.
Yeah, State House Room 204, Concord, New Hampshire, 03301.
State House, I'm sorry, I'm writing. I'm
State
not.
State House Room 204.
I'm sorry, State House Room number 204.
Concord, New Hampshire. 03301.
Okay.
Okay. I want to get back to this foreclosure notice. Did you indicate you have that in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Whose mortgage was being foreclosed?
A person by the name of Nick Scarafone.
Okay.
And hold on 1 second. I have a copy of it here. Just please look for it. Well, I'm kind of missing a little tiny bit on the top. Let's see here. It just says something about PM. I can't really read the date.
Okay.
But it says like one. I think it might say 1 p.m. Set sale to be held on the mortgaged premises hereinafter described and having a present address of 545 Laconia Road, Tilton, New Hampshire, 02276, Belknap County, New Hampshire. The premises being more particularly described in the mortgage as follows. A certain tract of parcel or parcel of land with the improvements thereon in Tilton.
what you're, excuse me, let me interrupt. What you're reading from now is the statutorily required mortgagee's notice of foreclosure sale. That's what you're going to forward to us. It isn't, I'm not going to ask you necessarily to read that. I understand what that will say. What's important to me to understand is how we go from your attending a sale, being a successful bidder, and how you become the borrower of Donald Keltz through FRM. That's not clear to me yet, and I want that to be clear.
Okay, well, it says here that meaning and intending to describe and mortgage the same premises conveyed to Chaz R. Fisher, trustee, and Nicholas J. Scarafone, Jr., trustee of the Nicholas J. Scarafone III Minority Trust by warranty deed of, and then it goes on to, you know, like previous owners.
I understand that. Let's go back to the days subsequent to the transaction when you were unable to secure financing external to FRM.
There was no written documentation. That's what really bothers me, is that even in these documents, it doesn't really say anything about financial resources. The letterhead says financial resources and assistance of the Lakes Region Incorporated. And the borrower, let's see here. They didn't even do this right to begin with anyway, because it says Lakes Region Furniture Outlet, and that was incorrect. The borrower wasn't Lakes Region Furniture, the borrower was L&MG. LLC.
From whom did you understand you were borrowing money?
I always understood that I was borrowing the money from financial resources, because they're the ones that were working with me, and they're the ones that had the mortgage. There was never anything that was said to me that, you know, that somebody invested money and, you know, that the mortgage was going to, you know, be that. I didn't know that until, like, the closing, you know, the closing day, you know, that the mortgage, when they submitted all, they put all the documents in front of me, and they read the, you know, the terms and the conditions, and they never said that it was going to be like a, not that there wasn't going to be an interest-only loan, I knew that, but I was never informed that I could never apply any additional money to the principal. And what really bothered me is that this loan was only supposed to be for 1 year.
That was my next question. How long did you understand the loan to last? 1 year, is that correct?
For 1 year, okay. And I was to try to find financing within that year, which I was trying to find financing within that year. And at that point, the economy started to go really bad, and banks weren't lending, and so I was kind of caught not in a good place. So I went to financial resources and asked them if they could, you know, refinance me.
With whom did you speak then?
To CL&M. And they were the servicing company.
And who at CL&M was your contact?
Don Dodge. Donald Dodge.
And what was the result of that inquiry you made about refinancing?
I actually sat in his office, and he told me that I will never be able to get refinanced through financial resources.
Did he tell you why?
He told me that my credit wasn't good. But he didn't even check my credit out at that point.
Did he suggest any options for you?
Not really. Just to keep on trying to get financing. That's what he told me.
So what did you do after that conversation with Mr. Dodge?
I asked him if they could extend the interest-only mortgage, because I felt, well, at least I can hold on to the property and just pay the interest. and they seemed to be very receptive to that because it was free money. Why would they weren't willing to refinance me, but they certainly were willing to let me keep on spending almost $1,400 in an interest-only payment that went on for several years after that, with no, you know, nothing being said that, oh, you know, we can't do this anymore.
Okay.
Because it was free money, you know, I mean, who would say no to that?
To whom did you make your monthly interest payments?
To CL&M.
Was the check made out to CL&M?
Yes. It was very specific that the check was to be made out to CL&M.
And yet you understood at the closing that there was a person named Donald Keltz involved in this transaction. Is that correct?
Only at the closing I knew that.
Okay. Did you then believe when you were sending payments to CL&M that the monthly interest was being forwarded to Mr. Keltz?
At the time of the closing, I didn't realize that. It all came to me like afterwards, because I'm like, okay, so this mortgage is not with Financial Resources, now it's with this other person. So, and I didn't really understand that. All I knew is that I owe $125,000. It was through Financial Resources because they were holding the property. They're the ones that foreclosed on the previous owner, but they never really said, you know, they just said, you know, well, you could assume the mortgage, the existing mortgage. They never mentioned Donald Kelt's name. They just mentioned that, you know, that I could assume a mortgage. That was toward the end, though. In the beginning, I was looking for $165,000 of mortgage.
So how long after the 1 year term, original term of the note, did you continue to make these monthly interest-only payments?
I would say right up until 2009. I believe you have documents relating to that.
Do you recall?
Oh, off the top of my head, I really don't.
Well, do you
recall? All I know is that I've gotten, like, the statements. Like, they would send me, like, a... It wasn't 2009, though. I know that. I think it might have been maybe the beginning of 2009. And that's when things just started to go really bad. You know, I'm like, I don't have any money. The economy is bad, and I don't really have anything else to do. And then I started working with Gould and Burke, the attorneys.
And explain to me what you mean by that, working with Gould and Burke.
Well, they put me in touch with them because Gould and Burke worked in the same building. They all worked in the same building.
And what did Gould and Burke do for you?
Gould and Burke said that they were going to, I mean, of course, I knew at that point that, you know, now it's the investor that they need to contact at that time. So I was trying to see if there was anything that can be done. And Gould and Burke said, well, the investor said to send $2,000, you know. And that's what I did. I ended up sending them $2,000. And Mr. Kelt, I thought Mr. Kelt was going to get $2,000, but he didn't. He ended up getting his regular payment, and then the other money went to Gould and Burke.
What did you understand that $2,000 was supposed to do?
I was supposed to make a payment to Mr. Kelt.
So is it fair to say that $2,000 then represented an interest-only payment that was to be forwarded to Kelt plus a fee to Gould and Burke?
No, I never knew. I never knew that there was going to be a fee to Gould and Burke. Nobody said anything about any fees to Gould and Burke. Because he wasn't my attorney. He was, you know, Financial Resources attorney or CL&M's attorney. I don't really know whose attorney he was.
Okay. Did you ever receive a title insurance policy as a result of your...
Yes.
You did?
I have that with me. Which again, I don't really know. I just feel like I'm a victim in this whole thing, and gotten nothing out of it except misery.
I fully understand that, but it's important for me to understand your transaction. Every transaction is a little bit different.
Okay.
And just bear with me, because what you're trying to do is hopefully is educate me.
Okay.
Subsequent to that $2,000 payment you just recently described, did you make any additional interest-only payments to CLNM?
No, that was the last one that I sent them, because shortly after that, they were all over the news. So that might tell you, like, when I might have made that last payment.
Has anybody forwarded any notices to you of an intention to foreclose on the real estate?
I believe the attorney has sent me some documents, except I could not put my hands on them at the time of.
Can you say the attorney? Which attorney?
Goldenberg.
How did you learn of the collapse of FRM?
On the news. It was on the news.
Subsequent to your learning of the collapse of FRM, have you received correspondence from any attorneys relative to this real estate?
Only from the bankruptcy attorney. Attorney Nottinger.
And what did he request of you?
Not to send any payments to CLNM. And to, you know, if anything is going to be paid, you know, then it should go to them. But at that point, I'm like, you know, this doesn't even make sense. This just doesn't even make sense to me. Because I decided, you know what, I'm not going to go and pay anybody any more money. Because I feel like I've been totally wronged by all of this. And I want restitution. Because I've already given over $40,000 to an investor that was just taking my money and with financial resources, not ever willing to apply any money to the principal when I did have it. And they weren't willing to refinance me.
Who was it that, if you remember explicitly, who was it who told you that you were not permitted under the terms and conditions of your transaction to pay any money against the principal?
I'm trying to think who actually told me that. I don't really recall.
That's fair. That's fine.
I don't recall
that's fine.
Who told me,
that's
but
fine.
I was told that.
Okay. Ms. Goyette, I have no further questions at this time. There are attorneys here from the Bureau of Securities, Attorney Forcey, Attorney Spill, and Attorney Wingate, who may have questions. Mr. Spill, do you have any questions?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just had a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Was one of the fellows that you work with at Financial Resources a Thomas McNeil?
I don't recall that name, sir. I don't know that name.
Okay. And you said that you started to work with Goldenberg.
Goldenberg, I was actually working with Michelle Milius. I don't know if that name, you know, rings a bell at all, but Michelle Milius was working for Financial Resources, and she was the person corresponding with me for Goldenberg.
And what kind of work did you have performed by Goldenberg?
He was trying to get something going in lieu of foreclosure, because that's the information regarding foreclosure that would have been on some document. It was on some letter, and I'd have to go back because I'd have to go back and find all of those documents from Goldenberg. But Michelle Milius was emailing me. I remember she was emailing me information. And I'd have to go back and see if I still have those emails.
How did that relationship with Gould & Burke resolve? Was there anything they were able to do for you?
They told me to just, you know, send $2,000. I think at that point they were talking foreclosure, and he told me to send $2,000, you know, against the interest that was owed to on the mortgage.
Who's the he that you just referred to?
Mike. I think his name was Mike Gould. He was the attorney.
So just so I'm clear, you took over the original mortgage?
Exactly. I took over an existing loan that was owed to the investor, which I thought was owed to Financial Resources. I was never informed of the investor until, like, the closing, you know. You know, this is Mr. Kels, and he's the one, you know. I thought the mortgage was through Financial Resources, not through some other person. But yeah, I had to send all of the money to CL&M. I couldn't even send it to, why wouldn't I send it directly to the mortgage guy?
I have no further questions.
Mr. Wingate?
No, sir, thank you.
And Mr. Forsyth?
No, sir.
Ms. Goyette?
Yes.
This is Mr. Chandler again. I need to be abundantly clear on this, that clearly you took title to real estate on Laconia Road, I presume in Tilton, New Hampshire. Is that correct?
Yes.
You took title as a result of a foreclosure sale. Is that correct?
Yes.
You entered into some kind of a relationship utilizing FRM that caused you to make interest-only payments on a one-year note as a result of taking that title. Is that correct?
Yes.
You were unable to refinance that note at the end of 1 year and continued to make monthly interest-only payments.
Per their approval.
Okay. At some point in time, you stopped making those payments, had a contact with FRM and Gould & Burke, and as a result of a conversation with probably Mike Gould, you made a $2,000 payment, a portion of which was interest only. Is that correct?
It was all interest only.
Subsequent to that $2,000 payment, no additional interest only payments have been made.
That is correct.
Okay. And you did, in fact, receive an owner's title insurance policy.
Yes.
Okay. I have no further questions. I want to thank you very much for, one, taking the time to go through your documents and forward them to the Bureau so I can review them, and for making yourself available. I realize you have time constraints. It's greatly appreciated. And if I have any additional questions at any point in time in the future, I will contact you through the attorneys of the Bureau. If you are contacted, please remember that throughout the pendency of this hearing, you remain under oath. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Let's enter this one. On the record, do we have her title insurance policy, a copy of the foreclosure deed, or anything of that nature?
She originally wasn't going to provide any documents at all due to time constraints, and she has some things going on with her family. But she, at the end, she scraped together these documents. I'm sure she has more. I can follow up with her.
Let me ask you to do this for me, because, I mean, I understand this transaction.
Yep.
But let me ask you to search, since we can do it online, the Belknap County records to see if you actually see a recorded foreclosure deed.
In the Belknap County?
Yeah, I'd be real interested in that, because that will have within it an attested copy of the foreclosure notice and a listing of whomever received certified notices of the mortgagee's foreclosure sale notice itself.
Okay, I'll do that research and get back
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, and if you locate that, I want that entered on the record. I mean, that'll clarify for me and Mr. Spill, I think, the transaction.
Will do.
Good. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Charles Chandler. I'm the presiding officer in a hearing process regarding the FRM matter. I've been appointed by the New Hampshire Secretary of State to conduct these hearings. You are on a speakerphone in a duly convened hearing. And you are listed as a person willing to testify. If you choose to testify, you will be testifying under oath. Do you understand all of those things?
Yes, I do.
Are you, in fact, Taryn Johnson?
Yes, I am Taryn Johnson.
Okay. Ms. Johnson, I'm going to ask you, do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in the matter now pending will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Ms. Johnson, many of the victims in this FRM matter have chosen to open their testimony by reading a prepared statement. Others have chosen not to do that, but speak extemporaneously. Do you have a prepared statement?
Yes, I do.
Would you be willing to read that into the record?
Yes.
Please proceed.
First, I'd like to thank everyone who has been so instrumental in allowing me, as well as the many victims, the opportunity to testify in regard to the horrific injustice executed by Financial Resources Mortgage, also known as FRM, and CLMM. Originally, my plans were to drive 80.78 miles to Concord, New Hampshire, which would have equated to about just 2 hours today, November 24th, which is the day before Thanksgiving, to be there in person, but I decided to call in to testify instead. So once again, I want to thank you for allowing me to do this. I was first referred to Scott Farah back in 2000 from a friend who was in the financial business and who was investing his money in mortgages through Financial Resources. I decided to roll over my 401k from my former employer because I had this option of doing this. One thing I do remember doing is checking with the Better Business Bureau to see if any negative business dealings were reported on Financial Resources. I checked via the internet and the company's name did not appear on the BBB's website. My 401k was rolled over into Trust Company of America out of Englewood, Colorado, and this is an asset custody servicing company. A few years later, in 2006, I was contacted by Scott that there was a lending opportunity to invest in a mortgage if I was interested, and that I would be receiving the paperwork to have my funds rolled over to a new administrator known as Pensco Trust Company out of San Francisco, California. I did agree to this after reviewing the paperwork and the particulars. One of the benefits that I liked was that I would have access to viewing my funds via the internet. Scott informed me that CLMM Inc. would be the loan servicing company that was set up for the mortgage I would be investing in as a lender, and the property was located in Concord, New Hampshire, and all this happened in 2006. I initiated a call to Scott Farah in the spring of 2009, asking about the status of the repayment of the loan I invested in as a lender, since the statements about repayment from the borrower to CLMM had stopped. In 2008,
I was also receiving copies of a copy of a letter stating that the borrower was late in making payments. And this came from the law offices of Wood and Burke, who sent me a notice that they were attempting to collect a debt from the borrower. Scott informed me that the borrower was experiencing financial hardships due to becoming unemployed in 2008. I made it a point to call Scott monthly and then follow up with emails in 2009 when I noticed that CLM was not sending me further correspondence on the status of the borrower, and I was not being updated by Scott either. Scott eventually informed me that by the end of 2009, he should have my money that he was working on it. This never happened because, as we know, FRM and CLM shut down abruptly in November of 2009. I heard about this from my husband, who called me and stated that he heard it announced on WBC 1030, which is a radio station out of Boston, and I was in total shock. As one who has been a very hard worker, who saved and invested in a 401k with my former employer since the very first year the nest egg concept was introduced in the late 70s, and to now have my hard-earned funds stolen is a travesty of epic proportions. To know that my funds, in which I hope to use to help further the college education of my three teens, is not within my reach is heartbreaking. Also, to know that the plans I had to repay my sister in 2009 loaned me money to help my family when my husband and I were short on funds to buy food and to keep a roof over our head hurts. To further add insult to injury, the bankruptcy trustee, in this case better known as Donchev and Nottinger, displayed insensitivity to the plight of the victims. I feel it was another wrong that should be noted. The last thing I wanted to hear about is to see the bankruptcy trustee's office stated he is entitled to collect when very little is being shared on restitution for me or the other victims. Finally, when comments about the victims start surfacing that we should not have been so captivated and expecting huge returns on our investments in that we should have known exactly what we were getting involved with, leads me to ask the following question. How many of these individuals do an intense investigation on the local banks and well-known financial institutions before they do business, such as signing up for payroll, direct deposits, mortgages, IRAs, or 401ks themselves? This is a serious problem in our society where greed has intensified and is more rampant, and there are sharks out to swallow up every fish in the ocean. Our government agencies in the area of finance need to step it up 100% in keeping the public informed and protected from the known crooks within these financial establishments by exposing and shutting them down sooner. All I want is what is rightfully mine, because this is what I earn and worked for through many long hours during the night shift when I went to work through rain, sleet, heat, and snow. Thank you for this opportunity to testify, Mrs. Karen Johnson.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the statement. I appreciate the time you have taken to put together documents for the Bureau so that I can review them this morning. Your initial contact, as I understand it, with Scott Farah and FRM was in 2000, is that correct?
Yes.
But your first, is it fair to say your first loan was 6 years later in 2006?
Right, that's correct.
Was it in 2006 that you contacted the Better Business Bureau?
No, it was in 2000 that I contacted it, because I had, I was leaving a company and I didn't want to leave my funds, so I wanted to take it out of their 401, their administrators. It was with Fidelity, so I wanted to bring it with me. And that's where, when I spoke to Scott, it was rolled over into Trust Company of America.
And who suggested utilization of Penco Trust to you?
That was Scott.
Scott.
Scott Farrer.
Okay. And is it fair to say that occurred in 2006?
Yes, that is correct.
And was it subsequent to the placement of funds with Pensco that you made funds available for lending?
Yes, that is correct. Well, let me see. Pensco was the administrator, and as far as I knew, they were just the administrator of my RA. So yes, they would have been. The funds would have been through Pensco.
Are you familiar with the company CL&M Inc.?
Yes, I am.
And what do you understand that entity to be?
They were the loan servicing company for the borrower in which I had loaned my money to.
And did you in fact receive some interest payments on the money that you lent?
Yes.
And from whom did you receive the payments?
It was from CL&M. The interest payments were sent to Pensco Trust, and it stated for the benefit of me, the lender, with my name on it.
Were you the sole funder of this particular loan?
Yes, from what I to my documents, yes.
Who do you understand Greatland Project Development Incorporated to be, if you do, if you understand at all?
The only thing I understand is that there was just one borrower. I don't understand it to be some massive project, Greatland Project, although the name would suggest that, but I just understand it for just one borrower, one grantor.
Okay. Did you ever receive a lender's title insurance policy?
No, I did not, that I can just recall.
Did you attend any closings at FRM?
No, I did not.
Okay. Is it fair to say then that the closings were done by mail?
That is correct.
And do you recall how your funds were transferred?
Yes, I do.
And how were they transferred?
They were transferred via wire.
From Pensco?
From Trust Company. It was from Pensco, yes.
And who was the recipient of the funds, if you recall?
If I understand, you're saying that to fund Greatland Project, the funds were transferred to fund Greatland? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I want to find out is where, to what entity the funds you lent actually went in this transaction you're describing.
Oh, okay. I would say that the funds went the funds went from Scott Farrer's Financial Resources Mortgages, from what I understood, and they were going to be paid back to me, to Pensco Trust.
Okay. Ultimately, that's the case, but in an intermediate step at the creation of the lender-borrower relationship, is it fair to say funds were transferred to an entity? Let me ask it a different way. Were any of your monies ever transferred to CL&M?
No, not that I know.
Okay. Bear with me while I look at some documents.
Sure.
How much money did you lend through FRM, if you recall?
It was 65. It was around 60. I'm going to say initially it was 61 from trust company. The 65 was the interest that was paid. So I'm going to say it was 61,000.
Do you know who Garrick Stockman is?
He, from my understanding, and this is all on the paperwork that I had received, he was the borrower who I had had supported.
And if I suggested to you that sum to Garrick Stockman was $65,200, would that seem correct?
That is correct.
When you advanced these funds to FRM for lending, did you believe that your loan was going to be secured by an interest in real estate so that if there were a default on any terms of a mortgage, you could have an ability to foreclose in an attempt to recoup your loan amount?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Did you believe that you were going to be in first position? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes. To collect the debt, if that were the case. I would say yes. I would have to say yes to that.
Okay. Did you receive a notice in 2009 from Deutsche Bank National Trust Company regarding a mortgagee's notice of sale of real property?
Yes, I did, and that came to Penso Trust, in which Penso Trust sent it to me by certified mail.
And what did you understand that to be?
I understood that the address that I had invested or I had loaned my money to for a Garrick Stockman was going to be foreclosed based upon the information and the contents of the notice that I received.
Did you believe that the Deutsche Bank interest was junior to your interest?
Over time, initially, at first I thought yes, but over time I did not believe it because, first of all, it's the way that they sent it to Pensco, and they should have, I thought they should have sent it to me.
Do you remember seeing a document entitled Assignment of Mortgage in which there was a mortgage assigned to Pensco Trust Company for benefit of Taryn B. Johnson?
Yes, I do.
What do you understand that document to be?
Well, that in fact, what I understand to be was just the mortgage for the borrower in which my funds were being used to finance his mortgage. In fact, I took that to be a mortgage that he was applying for, a mortgage note.
Okay. Is it fair to say that under the terms of your 2006 transaction with FRM regarding this property, you in fact did receive interest payments?
Yes, that is correct.
At some point in time, did those interest payments stop?
Yes, they did.
Do you recall when they stopped?
They stopped towards, I'm going to say, the end of 2008 and definitely the very beginning of 2009.
Bear with me again. Mm-hmm. is it fair to say that the promissory note you forwarded to the Bureau shows it has a maturity date of February 1st, 2011?
Yes, that is correct.
So that during the time period, those interest payments should have continued. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
When they ceased, what did you do?
I got on the phone and I called Financial Resources Mortgage to ask for Scott Farrer to get some understanding as to what was going on. At the same time, I also called CLNN to see if they had received any payments in regards to the loan that was on my name. And at the same time, I also followed up my phone calls with emails just to see to understand what in fact was going on. And this was me calling FRM and CLNN.
Did you ever speak with anybody at either of those companies?
Yes, sir. I spoke with Rhonda, the secretary, who was going to transfer me to Scott Farrah, if he was not in a meeting, and Leslie in some meeting. And Scott would eventually give me a call back, if not later on the same day or a couple of days later. I can't remember the name of the secretary who I spoke to at CLNM, but I did make contact with someone in the office.
Do you recognize the name Donald Dodge?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever spoken with Donald Dodge?
I do recall speaking with him once or twice.
Did you speak with him subsequent to the cessation of interest payments to you?
Could you repeat that again?
Did you speak with him subsequent to the cessation of interest payments to you?
Yes.
And what did he tell you, if you recall?
From my knowledge is that, he was saying that they are attempting to try to collect the debt, the payment, that is owed me, and that they are working on it.
Did you have a similar conversation with Scott Farrah?
Yes, I did.
And if you recall, what did he tell you?
He informed me, because I sent him a series of questions, the last thing I do have on one of the questions that I remember is that, can he provide me with a monthly update on the status, because he did say that he is working on trying to get my money by the end of 2009. And I also asked him, it would be very helpful and a good business practice if he were to keep me informed on the progress of what is happening. And I do have an email with his reply back to my questions that I asked him.
What kind of questions did you pose to him?
I said, as a client of Financial Resources Mortgages, is my investment insured? I stated also, my second one was Pinsco Trust, as you know, is the administrator of my retirement account, in which I'm still paying fees to them. I was really concerned about that because I was paying fees on nothing that was being brought back into the account. And I asked the question if I could close my account for Pinsco Trust to avoid those administration fees. The third question that I asked him was, and this was a quote, a statement that Scott had quoted to me. He says, it will be a number of months before it is done. And I said, I asked Scott, can you give me a realistic best judgment? Are the number of months going to be 6 to 12? And this was in reference to if, in fact, what he's working on trying to get my funds so that they could be sent to the administrator of Pinsco Trust. I just wanted to know what was the time frame. And then fourthly, I asked him, Scott, could you please provide me a monthly update on the status of how you are progressing with Derek Stockman? And I went on to say, this would be very helpful to me, and it's good business to keep your client informed.
And did he respond to those inquiries?
Yes. When he, the short answer that he said was yes, the long answer, he said yes to everything.
Excuse me, let me interrupt. Suspend for a minute. He said yes when you asked if your funds were in some way insured?
Yes, he did.
There's no question in your mind that he responded yes to that.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And he responded yes or in a positive fashion to your, somehow to your other inquiries. Is that
right? And he said, and then he said the long answer. I mean, I'm reading it right here.
Okay.
And I have everything stated. It says it will be a number of months before it is done. I am working on it on a daily basis, a regular basis.
Okay.
And this was in June. This was June 26, 2009 at 1:30 p.m.
I want to thank you. Here today are attorneys from the Bureau of Securities, Attorney Spill, Attorney Wingate, and Attorney Forsey. Attorney Spill, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. Mr. Johnson, thanks for joining us today. My name is Jeff Spill. I'm with the Bureau of Securities Regulation, State of New Hampshire.
Yes.
Earlier in the year 2000, 2001 to 2003, the Bureau took a securities action against Financial Resources, and as part of that action received a list of unsecured note holders, and according to our records, you were one of the note holders. Do you recall us contacting you about that?
Where are you from again now?
Bureau of Securities Regulation, State of New Hampshire.
No, I don't recall. And this was in, what, 2000?
It would have been 2003, in June and January.
No, if you did, I don't have the paperwork in front of me.
Were you, prior to today, were you aware that Securities Bureau took an enforcement action against Financial Resources in 2001 to 2003?
No, I was not aware of that.
Okay. I want to talk about the transactions that took place during that time period. Our records show that you were an unsecured note holder. Do you recall that transaction?
No, I don't.
Did you lend money to Financial Resources on an unsecured basis?
Is that the name of the individual, or is that the name of the...
Financial Resources, the company.
Oh, yes, yes. I did say that my money was, well, 2000, it was rolled over from a 401k into Financial Resources, so yes.
What was the... transaction that occurred in 2000?
That I'm not, I don't recollect. I'm sorry, I just...
So the transaction that you've described today would be the mortgage transaction with Mr. Stockman, right?
Yes, that is the one that I do have recollection of.
Okay, the other transaction, do you think it did not occur, or that you just don't recall it?
I just don't recall it.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Mr. Wingate, also with the Bureau of Securities Regulations, State of New Hampshire, Ms. Johnson. And I just want to follow up with what Mr. Spill said. Do I understand you to say that you had an IRA prior to 2000?
Yes, I did.
And did you take that money and invest it, take it out of the IRA and invest it in New Hampshire at that time?
What, could you be clear when you say invested in New Hampshire?
Was there a company that you placed that money with in 2000 time frame?
Yes, I did.
And do you recall the name of the company?
It was Financial Resources. I think it was called at that time Financial Resources.
Financial Resources. Financial Resources and Assistance of the Lakes Region, Incorporated.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you get your money back from them?
At the time, well, yes, I did, because it was put into the Trust Company of America, and that is where it was rolled over into Pensco Trust. So I would have to say yes.
So you've got your money out of Financial Resources Assistance. Now, were you approached by Scott Thera or anyone else about doing that?
I was just approached by Scott Thera only to roll it over into Pensco Trust. And that was the only person.
All right. And that's what you did. Am I right about that?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. And do you remember the time frame? When did you do this?
This was around, I'm going to say the spring, around May of 2006. Mid-2006, April or May.
All right. And when you did that, were you given any assurances that this money was insured in some fashion?
Yes, I was. That was one of the questions, because, I mean, the documents that I read did state that it was federally insured.
Do you happen to have the document that shows that?
Yes, in fact, if you do have a copy that was faxed, or I should say, emailed over, not fast, it was emailed over.
Right. We're working off a package of papers that we thank you for providing, and I was wondering if you do happen to have those papers before you, approximately where in the documents it might be.
Okay, let me see here. You see the documents that say Trust Company of America?
Yes, I do. I'm about three pages past your statement.
I'm going to say about on page 13, there is some fine print. After the Nancy E. O'Connor, who is the notary public in New Hampshire.
All right, let me see if I can find Nancy. Is that after the note?
It is.
I have it, yes. I have it here.
Do you see old Nancy E. O'Connor?
I do.
Okay, now if you the page following that at the very top, there is a paragraph that starts with "If borrower pays funds to lender,
yes,
the funds shall be held in an institution."
I see where you're talking about.
Okay.
Yep, I see what you're talking about. This would be down at the bottom in the center. It's page 204, and on the right hand margin of the bottom it says Form 3830.
That is correct.
All right, and that's where you thought that was the money that you... Okay, this is... All right. You thought it was insured.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm not sure if you... I think you may have answered this question from Mr. Chandler, but I forgot. Forgive me for asking it again. So,
Did
you ever get a title insurance policy for this property?
If I did, I just don't remember.
Did you ever see a closing statement or a HUD 1 form, something like that?
No, I did not.
I have no other questions, ma'am. Thank you.
Mr. Spill?
Yes, sir.
I have nothing further at this point in time. Ms. Johnson, I want to thank you very much for, one, taking the time to make yourself available today in this hearing, and, two, for providing the documents to the Bureau. If in my deliberations I have any additional questions, I will contact you through the attorneys at the Bureau. If you are so contacted, please remember that you remain under oath during the pendency of these hearings. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much as well. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.
I want to take a 5-minute break. We can wait for him or proceed.
I don't see him coming, sir. I don't know what to do.
Well, let's go. We're on.
We are.
We're on the record, reconvening the our next witness will be a Stratenka Sisek, if I have pronounced that at all correctly.
Good pronunciation.
Yes. Good morning.
Guten Morgen.
Geht's Ihnen?
Es geht mir gut.
In English, we will proceed. Ms. Sisek, as you may have heard this morning, whenever people testify, I offer them an opportunity to read into the record any prepared statement that they may have relative to their relationship with FRM, or in many cases there is no prepared statement, and I offer people an opportunity to give me an overview of their relationship with FRM. Would you like to make a general opening statement?
No, just overview.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't have prepared statement.
Would you like to make a statement?
Yeah, I can just tell.
Just tell me what happened with you and FRM.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yes. I met Scott Ferrer through his mother, Barbara Ferrer, whose teaching assistant I was for 5-6 years at Franklin School District. She suggested to me to, when we were working very hard, my husband and I had 3 different jobs and he was working day 11 to 11, 7 days a week, and then she suggested to me to meet with her son because he's banking, so he's doing something with investing money also. I didn't understand much of it. And then I went to talk to him and I told him, Scott Ferrer, I do not know you, but I know your mother and I think I can trust you because of your mother. I have known her for a couple of years. And then I asked him to explain to me, because in our country we only have like these CDs. We didn't have investments and I didn't understand much. And he explained to me, I asked him to explain to me a risk, because I told him we have lost everything as a cause of a civil war. We lost a house, apartment and savings. And I told him this, what I can invest is not much, but it's everything what we have. We didn't buy here a house, we don't have retirement, we don't have anything, and we cannot lose this money. I would rather have in a bank 1 or 2% than 9 at your, if it's not safe. And then he explains to me, he said, you have a CD which is, you cannot lose the money, but it's 1%. You have a way that he is investing. He said that someone is borrowing money from him, and basically that he is lending our money. And he said, if it comes to wars, he will do foreclosure and we will be compensated. He said, you can never lose the principal. The worst scenario is that you can lose interest on a couple of months. And then I was thinking, that is really good. If I cannot lose interest and the capital, And then he said he never invest more than 80% so that he has a 20% like space to that customers can never lose money. And he said that he's in the business for 16, 17 years and no one has ever lost anything. And then I thought, I knew his mother for 5, 6 years and he comes across as a honest man and all this church behind. I really felt very comfortable with him. And then he said investments are on 1 year and after 1 year you can decide if you like having business with me or not. And then I have started with $10,000 and then I would say more and add another $10,000. And then he told me you can get interest paid off monthly or it can be compounded. And I told him this is a money for our retirement or later days and we will not take interest. And interest was compounded. And he would send me every month statement how much money I have. And this, and a couple of years later, my husband decided, because we have separate finances, and my husband decided, asked me to introduce him to Farah. He wanted to invest the money too, because my husband was working for Freudenberg from 11 to 11. And all the time, and all the time, and he has saved some money and he went, and we would tell Scott that we really don't understand much. I understood this when he said that I can never lose internet capital. It was good, like, and I told him I would just like you to choose a project for me that is secure. I didn't have any clue about other things. But I understood if foreclosure is done, he said clearly to me, if borrower starts paying interest and his property will be sold and he will be the first one to get the money, and because he doesn't finance 100% and 80% this like period between foreclosure and distribution of money will be well covered with this. And then that was, I think I have started end of 2002. And then couple of these first years, the money was just being seen on a paper, compounded. And all of a sudden in 2007, my husband went to do second investment. He took money from retirement. He took a loan, I think, from retirement because he had opportunity to work all these long hours and his plan was to now take this money and go back and build a house and have a life. And so my husband went in 2007 with the second payment, $50,000. First was $50,000, then $50,000 more. And then Scott told him, he wanted to tell Scott again that he wants interest to be compounded. But Scott told him, it cannot be compounded anymore. You will be paid interest monthly. And I start receiving interest monthly too. We never asked why and how this came about. It's good that came about because we got some money through the interest. And then KLM came into the picture.
Excuse me?
The CLM.
Okay.
CLM. To my understanding, CLM was like an agency doing paperwork for him. That was my understanding of that. And whenever I called Diane Smith about something, she would tell me, she would check with Scott and she will call me back or he will call me back. So I really understood them as agency who was helping him to distribute checks, nothing else. And my investment, $64,000, was with Arnel LaBranche, the borrower from Boston, Massachusetts. And Scott told me we would just let Scott decide for us where to put the money. We would just tell, we don't understand much, we trust you, it's important that money is secure. And then we would give a check, and a couple days later we'll follow paper from this lawyers, Werke and Goldenberger, and then they will indicate where to sign, and we would sign and send back. We didn't have any idea what promissory note is. Later on, I just got something when bankruptcy law. We didn't have any clue what secure, but I had this first explanation was done well to me that I own a piece of property if money is not there, that I will get money back. And then he was asking me, I was just thinking back, he was asking me many times if I have more people to bring in, more people. He knew that people from my country, they lost everything through the war, and they had strong working ethic, and they saw opportunity here. They are only not sleeping in the factories. They work overtime, all the time. And many of them got sick on the air. But he knew that. And I'm so thankful to God that I didn't bring anyone but my cousin. I had a cousin in Atlanta, Georgia, and that summer I was visiting him, and I told him how I have invested money with it. He's my best friend, Barbara's son, and I trust him, and I didn't persuade him. I just gave information to my cousin. And he came the following summer to visit us, and he invested $30,000. But what my husband told me recently, Barbara would organize like end of the year party at her house, and people would come, students and parents would come. And most of English as second language students, she's ESL teacher, English as second language, and most of them are from my country. And my husband learned recently, when news has spread how he lost money, one parent from the same country that we are, he told my husband at one party how Barbara or Robert, one of them, would talk to the parents, like, who you are, do you have money, would you like to... They were also promoting, like, mm-hmm. business, and he told to my husband how he got suspicious on this. Like, I wasn't there witnessing this, but this is what my husband told me. I was at the parties, but I really didn't see, I didn't know what they were talking with the people about. And so I was receiving a regular interest on my lending of money. And in January 2009, my $64,000 that had been lended to Arnel LaBranche should come to the conclusion, and I should be paid off in February or so. And then I got the interest check in February. And then on March, I called him to see what is going on with. Usually when my investment will expire, he will call me back home. We were a friend. He would call me back home, and he would... I remember when I had extended this last one, I was thinking about taking out money and buy a house. Because, you know, we are between two countries. we came here as victims of the Civil War, and you are emotionally connected with the first home, and you are here as your second home. It's hard. Mm. It's hard. And then I was thinking, I told him, I'm thinking to buy a house and take money out, and he said, what if I give you 2% more? He kind of persuaded me, and then I was thinking, okay, one more year, maybe then I can make a decision. And then when I didn't, 1 month I didn't receive a check, interest check. And I called him and he told me how this Arnel has a problem to rent property that he has built. But he said, he will come up with money, don't worry. And then next month I was sent only half a payment. And then it was, I think it was April or May, and it's the end of the school year, and I was very busy working, and I trusted him. I mean, I trusted him unconditionally. And then around my vacation, I called him maybe in May, and I told him, now I'm going on vacation, but when I come back, I would like to have back my money and interest. And when I came back from vacation, end of the August, he sent me check for this retroactive interest with $37 fee, like on the top of like late fee or something. And before also he sent me the copy of the overdue notice that he sent to Arnold LaBranche, like he was informing me that he's working on. And so, and I got this interest, and then I got this check with all the interest on the, with concluding with the August. I think I got this in September. And then I kept telling my husband, go to him and check what is with your money. He said, when my husband went second time, he suggested to him to, he said, oh, you put this in Abbott Village. And then when I was looking back, when I get more information about this, how many condominiums have been built, only 8. And he has put my husband, he had issued paper together with these lawyers, Gould and Burke. They have issued papers to my husband, condominium 34 or 35. It became clear to me when he took out money that he knew exactly that he will never see the money, that he knew exactly that he's lying on the papers, because only 8 condominiums have been built and he took in a 34 and 5. I mean, I think we are guilty too. We could have gone and see where the condominiums are. We just trusted him. And I trusted him because I taught him Scott, and they knew that we have lost everything through the Civil War. Everything, and that America was our chance. It was my idea. I didn't want to bring my children back to Bosnia because we have, it was a civil war, and we have multi-ethnic marriage, and I didn't want them to be exposed to the hatred. I know that America was a country where so many religions live peacefully together. And it was my idea. I taught my children, and we have better chance here than home. And I apologize.
Don't apologize.
I believe so much in affairs. They brought God closer to me. I grew up in a communist country. We were not forbidden to believe in God, and I had God in me on some one way or another. But through them, I thought they were sent to me, like, I like Barbara so much, and I still like Barbara. I still don't think that she knew this. I still don't think, I could be naive or stupid or what, but I still think that she didn't know what they were doing. But at the same time, I'm 100% convinced that both Farah and Scott Farah did this together. That is my belief. And to tell you, in addition to this, how I learned about this. I went, Barbara has retired like 1 year before this has happened, and but we were always in touch. And I called her on Monday, November 9th, 2009, to invite her because 11th, November 11th is Veterans Day, and I had a day off, and I wanted her to come over to have a lunch with me, because I haven't seen her over the summer. And I called her, and then she sounded as never before. She said, oh, sorry, I'm so sorry, I wouldn't be able to come, and something terrible has happened to our son, and I wouldn't be able to see you, and I will have to fly, and Bob is taking me to the airport, and I didn't want to interfere in her privacy. She has a 3 sons, and we were friends, and we talk about our children a lot, as all friends do. And Scott was the perfect one, perfect. Children, wife, family, blessed, perfect, perfect, perfect. And the youngest one had the trouble with the marriage, and I thought she will go to North Carolina, where youngest son lived, because he has a problem. But she was my friend, but I would never ask what she wouldn't tell. And then I made the assumption in my mind that she's traveling to North Carolina because this one has a, I thought someone has killed someone. How she sounded. She's a godly woman, and she's always optimistic. Whatever happens, she sees the light. And then that is what I was thinking. And she said, Bob will call you. She said, Bob will take me to the airport and he will call you. I didn't have any suspicion that could be. I thought he will call me and he will explain. He was very good husband. She was only happy with him. And then he called November 9th at 9 o'clock. And he said, oh, hi, Seka, how are you doing? Then I said, I told him, well, and he said, you know what, Scott's business has blown up. You know, English is my third language, but I understood that blown up is not good. How bad it is, I did not understand. And he said, how much did you have? Like jokingly, how much did you have? I told him, we had everything what we had. And we were so naive that we put everything. I learned in school, they are teaching kids, don't put everything on one spot. But we believed so much in him, and we had everything there. And all both of us together. I don't know how worse could it get. And then he said, but don't worry, I don't know what he did, but bankruptcy will be declared and you will get back, I don't know if 70 or 80%, they have to collect his property, what he has, I don't know even what he has. Like, this was like conversation. And he took a loan against my house, and we will be losing our house too. I just was listening without being able to tell anything, and I don't know how much I comprehend either. And then we ended our conversation. And I went to the room, another room where my husband was. I just came there, and I was standing there for a couple of minutes, and he was asking me, who did you talk to, what happened? I know that I just was standing there. I couldn't the words couldn't come out of my mouth. And then I said, finally, my husband thought that someone has died. And then he said, talk. What happened? And then I told him what I repeated to him. Then our son came from a work, and he checked internet. And still, on a BBB, Scott has A+. And even 1 week later, he had A+ on BBB. And then it was 2 months of, I think it was much worse than when civil war has started in my country. When war has started, we left the country and it was hard back then too. But this, another shock was like, civil war was a war where all people were in war, but in this one, you found new country, you found friends, you work hard to help yourself and your family, and then everything is gone. I mean, I don't know how much, but it was very hard. It was even harder that friendship was at stake and people, you just, it's very hard to establish your life in a totally new environment. To learn a language, to find a friend, to learn to live again and feel again as a human being. We were refugees for 9 years. Being called refugee after we are college educated people. We speak two foreign languages. We are hardworking and decent people. And then it was hard to be a 9 year refugee, and then you find America as your new country, and you find the friendships, and you find the job, and you think you are getting somewhere. And then this was very hard. This was very hard for my family, and especially for my husband. He is 63, and his plan was to go back and build a house and leave some money for security, and now he's broken man. Who doesn't speak? At one point I told him that I'm proud that he's doing well. He said, only I know how I'm doing. It's really hard to go through all of this. And this morning he went to ship his car, and he is leaving on December 1st. I guess he doesn't want to live on welfare in America. And I cannot blame him for any decision, and I feel sorry for him. I feel somehow more sorry for him than for myself. I'm planning to work 6 more years to get Social Security or something. And you know, we had a good life home, and we. When civil war came, it just was a civil war, and then you accept. It's not just you. The wars have happened before and will happen later on. But this one, America was promised country for us. And then when I went to this hearing, when all fellas filed for bankruptcy, I was sitting there and listening to first came his wife, claiming how she would get only money to pay bills and to give contribution to her father-in-law. You would, when I was listening to her, if I wouldn't have known what lifestyle she has, I would think a poor woman. And she came to the court with a coach purse. Maybe you don't know, but these are the purses, handbags. They cost 200 and up to 2,000. And he had even this nice handbag with her, and claiming how she didn't see any money, but she was given to pay electricity bill and telephone bill. And I recall exactly when her mother-in-law, my friend Barbara, told me, when she went to buy a car for $20,000, and car dealer wouldn't clear up her check before he spoke to Scott. And then she has changed her mind, and she went to buy a car somewhere else. And I was thinking, then later on came Robert Feller. Raise a hand, I will tell the truth. They all in this great country raise a hand in a court to tell the truth. And they were lying. Robert Feller's first question was, have you ever had a bankruptcy? He said, no, I didn't. Guess what? Barbara told me, at the same time, I feel a little bit betraying my friend Barbara, because she told me that they had bankruptcy to help me, because I was, it was so hard to lose everything and come here. I had started working for $7 as a teaching assistant, $7. And then she mentioned to me that they had bankruptcy to tell me how they had a hard time and they came up. They bought a house, they put three children to the college, and she told me this to help me. And now at the court, I couldn't listen anymore to the lies. And then I was thinking, all these people have $200 to pay a lawyer for hours. And we don't. We don't have any representation because we cannot afford any representation. My husband was laid off in April and bankruptcy came in November. And I went back to finish second college and a second master degree to make more than $7 per hour. In six years, my salary raised to $960. It was like if I'm dying every September, that they would give me these 25 cents. And then I went back to finish my second degree to make a little bit more money. And everything is good. I can enjoy sunshine. I can enjoy kindness of American people. They have given me strength so many times. They smile on their faces, and they support, and I can live, and I enjoy going to the second-hand shop and buy something for $2. I used to spend a lot of money, because we had the money. And I'm in peace with this, who I have. I am the same person with when I was making big money, and now when I made $7, I'm the same inside. As a human being. But back to this court, I couldn't listen anymore to their lies. And I was thinking, America shouldn't be about this. You are pastor, you raise your hand at the court, at the same court where I became American citizen a couple of years before. At the same court. They are raising hand and lying. And they all have money to pay a lawyer, and we don't. This is not what America should be about. No one can convince me that that is what America is about. And then I raise my hand, and I get on the stage, and I ask Mr. Ferra, Robert Ferra. And Mr. Scott has a Fifth Amendment. I will tell you this Fifth Amendment is the best thing for a criminal. You get even more frustrated. You are there listening to their lies, and he doesn't even have to speak. I mean, is in one time after another, you go there to see the man. Really, I would like to look him at the eye and see and ask him what he thinks who he is. And I raised my hand, and I went there, and I asked Robert Ferrer, do you know who I am? He said, yes, I know, of course I know. Then I told him, after all these lies that you have spilled out here, I don't know anymore who you are. I knew that you had a bankruptcy. Do you think that Mr. Nattinger cared? If I were Mr. Nattinger, I will call him back and ask him, is this woman lying or telling the rumors? Or Nattinger was another man that I was deeply disappointed in. When I saw him first time, it was in January in Manchester court. I saw the man who is just, I asked him, how much you will get? And he said, there is a written rule how much money he will get. I mean, he appeared to me just at the first sight as a man who just is counting how much he will get. And there are so many lives at stake in this mess that has been created. And then that was my first impression of Mr. Nattinger. And then at this court that I was describing, it was the second one. And he was just asking them questions, just to ask them something. I mean, he didn't interrogate hard, any of these. And it was so transparent that they were lying. On the top of all of this, when I came home, around 6 o'clock, I got a phone call from my friend Barbara. She called to tell me how disappointed she is. And I asked her, Barbara, did I tell at the court anything that wasn't true? She said, you didn't. And then I told her, I don't understand, why are you disappointed in me? I didn't tell any true, and your family members were lying. And then she kind of switched around. Barbara has written a nice children book dedicated to me. When we were talking about, we had my city where we lived is called Mostar and is famous after old bridge that was 427 years old. And this bridge was destroyed. It was the heart and soul of, it was for us as for Americans were Twin Towers. Only this one was 427 years old. And when she saw how emotional I get when I was talking about this bridge being destroyed, she was inspired and she wrote the children's book, like about, and the bridge was the theme, and she has dedicated to me. And then she changed this conversation, she said, I just called to ask you if I should take out this dedication to you from a book since you hate my husband so much. I told her, Barbara, not only that I don't hate your husband, I don't even hate your son. And I really don't. Hatred will not help me here. I came here because I didn't want to go home to my country. That after Civil War, when everyone was hating, they knew exactly who killed whom, and everyone was in a hate. In this country, I have not experienced nothing but love. Love, compassion, and kindness of American people. This is huge setback for my family and disappointment. But we came to the poor Franklin, and we met only friendly people who were smiling at us and welcoming us. I was welcomed 1,000 times more than 1,000 times in this country. As soon as I opened my mouth, people would welcome me, welcome to America. And I really don't know what the end will be of this, and I will not allow anything and anyone to spoil my notion about this country. But I am disappointed. I am disappointed with Nottinger, I am disappointed with, and I'm disappointed, the last disappointment was when I got a letter telling how Scott Farah was cooperative and his sentence will be reduced even before it's given. I mean, that was the last drop in my disappointment regarding all this matter. And then I have sent a letter and asking those who sent me this letter, what do they consider cooperation? I would consider him being cooperative if he would have said where the money is. I mean, it's so obvious that he has stashed money somewhere. How much money he got in the last 6 months? Where this money has disappeared? And he has the money to hire the best I learned that Ramstel, Michael Ramstel, is the best litigator in New Hampshire. Does it mean that if you have the money and he's paying him with our money, and he's not even arrested, he's free man. I don't get this. I really cannot understand this system. I think that is what I have to say.
Okay. Ms. Sisick, I want to thank you very much for your testimony here this morning. Certainly some of the most compelling testimony we've heard in the last 3 weeks. I think you've been remarkably clear. I guarantee you English is not your third language.
Thank you.
I think I fully understand in a technical sense your relationship with the Farahs. I hope I understand the emotional relationship. I'm going to have no questions for you today. I'm riveted by your testimony. I'll ask the lawyers if they have any questions. Mr. Spill or Mr. Wingate?
I have nothing to add, sir.
I have nothing to add, but I do also want to thank you for your testimony. It was quite clear and it was quite compelling.
Thank you.
Am I improving enough my English?
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you too. Thank you for listening, and I just
thank you for taking
from my heart and only the truth.
You certainly did, and I genuinely want to thank you for taking the time, making the effort, and opening yourself and your history to this hearing process. It means a lot. It means a great deal to us here. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. It's really
I think this is exactly why the Secretary of State felt that these hearings were going to be so significant.
Thank you.
That concludes the hearing for today.